This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. Polycystic ovary syndrome is a common condition among women that unfortunately remains underdiagnosed, or awareness at least remains very low. Now, it's also commonly referred to as PCOS, and it affects women's hormone levels and thus affecting, you know, things like the menstrual cycle, fertility, and even their physical appearances in some cases. So to find out more about it and how we can improve awareness or diagnosis of this condition, I'm joined today by Dr. Hu Mei Lin, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist, as well as a fertility specialist. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Hu.
It is my pleasure, as always, Wen.
It's great to have you back on again. Now, let's start, right? Could you explain what is polycystic ovary syndrome?
Well, polycystic ovarian syndrome is a condition where essentially we don't ovulate every month. So normally, if you look back to what we learned even in high school, every month an egg is prepared, and then when it's ready, you ovulate or the egg hatches, right? And then if you're not pregnant within a couple of weeks, then the signal will be sent to your brain to say, hey, this month we didn't make it, so let's have a period. And the shedding of the lining of your uterus is the period. So in women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, the ovulation does not happen all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, the condition is not fully understood, and it's not known why some people have it, some people don't. And so this is essentially the crux of the matter. You don't ovulate every month. Then there leads to some form of hormonal imbalance. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of it all, it's insulin resistance. So there is actually a theory that this is born out of a selection when a population undergoes stress and there's not enough food. So these women are conditioned to keep all their nutrients in, okay? And so as you know, with evolution, right, at times of great stress, when there's not enough food and shelter and stuff, women stop ovulating because it's not good time to bring an offspring into the world. So this is somehow in the genetic makeup already. And so these women then don't ovulate. And then what little food they take, they'll put on weight. So they tend to store all the stuff in there. So weight becomes an issue and obesity becomes an issue. And because of this insulin resistance that they have, then diabetes becomes an issue as well for women with PCOS. So it's all theoretical. There's no really like hard scientific evidence or hard scientific proof. So this is all theories that have developed over time as to why PCOS is what it is and why there seems to be an increased prevalence now of PCOS. We don't know whether it's because we are, I think it's a combination. It's a combination of people being more aware, mm-hmm, and seeking help. Mm-hmm. And it's a combination of we are getting better nutrition now in our society. So maybe with the better nutrition now, with these people being programmed to keep all the stuff that they're taking in, and then the disease is more, it emerges more readily.
So then do we know what causes PCOS?
You're born with PCOS. Yeah, so you don't catch PCOS, yeah? You're born with it. So we do tend to see PCOS running in families. So if your sister's got it, you're more likely to have it. Or if your mom's got it, you're more likely to have it. And again, this supports the genetic theory of how you are actually programmed to keep your stuff in, yeah.
So PCOS causes your hormones to be out of balance, right? Like you mentioned a bit earlier, Dr. Hu, could you explain a bit more about that? You know, what hormones are out of balance and how does it affect your body?
Okay, so funnily enough, when we talk about hormonal imbalance, mm-hmm, this is not the type of hormonal imbalance that actually you can measure through a blood test, right? Mm. Okay, so often people are, especially if you have a milder form of PCOS, mm-hmm, so often women will go and get a blood test and say, no, but everything's normal, so, you know, why am I like this and all that? So it, rather than it being a hormonal imbalance, like how we see it, it is the ratio that is a little bit more out of whack, mm, usually. Okay, so there are two hormones that usually we measure. It's called FSH and LH. Follicular stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. And so these are the hormones that are produced by the brain to drive the ovary to ovulate. And mm-hmm, often the FSH and LH are either equal or the FSH a little bit higher. But in women with PCOS, the LH seems to be a little bit higher. And so when there's excess estrogen in the body, mm-hmm, Okay. What happens is that some of that gets converted to the male form. Okay, so if you see the biochemistry, actually they are all the same. They only change from pupae and they can interchange to balance. So that's why a lot of women with PCOS actually have an excess of the male hormone, but not to the level that our male counterparts have, right? Mm-hmm. They just have more of it. So they exhibit some of them. So some of them will have like acne, and they will have like hair where's the not supposed to be hair. And of course, with ethnic differences, then, you know, you're a little bit more wary as to how to diagnose a woman as having excessive hair, because a woman of Indian descent is will tend to have more body hair than a woman of Chinese descent, for example. So, you know, things like hair on the upper lips and a growing mustache and a beard is not so... well, women shouldn't have it, and a male pattern baldness, things like that.
Mm. So I guess those are some of the symptoms of PCOS.
Yes, it is. But those are not the symptoms that women present with, okay? Mm-hmm. So usually women will present with irregular periods. So that's one of the hallmarks of polycystic ovarian syndrome, that is irregular periods. So they skip their periods, or their periods go out of whack. They don't have a period every month. Some can go up to years without having a period. Of course, we have to rule out pregnancy and other causes. But this is the concern that we have when women have no periods. And classically, they will tell you that, oh, you know, I've put on a bit of weight lately, and no matter what I do or no matter how I exercise, my weight's just not coming off. So this is the other hallmark of PCOS as well.
Then considering that, I guess, for many women, right, irregular period is not to say that uncommon. When should that be something that they're concerned about and see, you know, their gynecologist?
Yeah, it depends on how you define an irregular period, right? Mm-hmm. So for some women, if they don't bleed on the 6th of every month, that's irregular. So if you don't bleed on the same day of every month, that's not considered an irregular period. Mm-hmm. And if your period runs like, oh, it's 2 days earlier or 5 days later, that's not considered irregular period either, because you have a range, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that if you go without a period for more than 44 days, then we would then get worried, provided you're not pregnant, of course. Mm-hmm. If you're pregnant, then that all goes out of whack. We do have to rule out some other causes of irregular periods or why women don't have periods, and that can range from a thyroid condition to something wrong with the adrenal gland, to having a small pituitary tumor or a brain tumor. So there are things that we need to do to rule out, to make sure that it's not the other stuff that's causing the irregular periods, you know?
Mm. And speaking of when to worry, right? When do these symptoms of polycystic ovarian syndrome start? You know, when might they begin to show up in someone who has the syndrome?
Okay. So polycystic ovarian syndrome, it's usually a spectrum. Mm-hmm. Okay. So not every woman experiences it the same way. Mm-hmm. And it can present very early on. So like basically from the word go, you know, a young girl gets a period, it's irregular and it stays irregular. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when a girl just starts menstruating, it can take a little while for things to go in sync. And usually we tell them, give them a couple of years, you know, mm-hmm. and usually they will fall into a pattern. But if you do find that it's always irregular, it means like sometimes 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, no period, then it's a problem. I would say rule of thumb, if your period does not come as expected for more than 2 months, then I think you need to get checked out. I think that I would use that as a rule of thumb.
Mm. All right. Let's go for a quick break now, Dr. Hu. And when we come back, you know, I want to talk a bit more about diagnosis and misdiagnosis or even underdiagnosis, you know, which is often what we hear a lot with women's health related issues. I'm speaking today to Dr. Hu Mei Lin, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist and a fertility specialist, about polycystic ovarian syndrome on Health and Living. We'll be right back after a few messages. Keep it here on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Lim Su. And today we are talking about polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a rather common condition among women. And I am doing so with my guest, Dr. Hu Mei-Lin, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist. She's also a fertility specialist. Now, before the break, you know, Dr. Hu was explaining to us about what PCOS is, the symptoms that might show up with it, things like an irregular period. And also, and on that note of irregular period, right, you should be concerned when you don't get your period for more than 44 days, you know, not just a few days of changes. That's still within the normal range. There's also symptoms like putting on weight easily, facial hair where when you don't usually get them. So now let's talk about diagnosis, Dr. Hu. How do you usually confirm if someone has polycystic ovarian syndrome? Because like you say, right, it could also be a whole lot of other hormone-related health issue.
Okay. So polycystic ovarian syndrome is a syndrome. So we can't just look at a woman and say, dang, you know, you have this problem. So a lot of women will go for an ultrasound and the ultrasound will say multiple cysts seen in the ovary, and then go, oh my God, I've got polycystic ovary syndrome. Now, you can have polycystic ovaries without having polycystic ovarian syndrome. Okay, so there is a criteria that you need to fulfill before we give you the label. Okay, so it is called the Rotterdam consensus. So a whole group of specialists met in Rotterdam somewhere, and then they came up with these three criteria so that you have to fulfill two of to say that you have PCOS. Until today, we have arguments in the scientific world about what PCOS is, how adequately, how we should diagnose it. You know, so even the experts are still arguing. So the jury is still out there. But currently, with the guidelines that we have, essentially, you have to have two out of these three. One, irregular period. Two is that you have to have the ultrasound appearance of polycystic ovaries. And three, you have to have signs of hyperandrogenism, which is an excess of the male form, the male hormone. Okay, so like what we talked about, hair is you're not supposed to have, male pattern baldness, and acne, so things like that. Okay, so you have to fulfill two out of three. So just having the polycystic or looking ovary and nothing else, sorry, you can't take that label.
So then in that case, you know, if the jury is still out there, how important is it for women to be diagnosed?
I think it's very important, and certainly knowledge is one thing. So like I was alluding to earlier, I think the prevalence is a little bit up because we are informing people and people are getting more informed, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll think, oh, you know, parents are quite right. You go on Google, they come on BFM, they listen, and then they go like, oh, I think that sounds like me. So I think it's important because there are health implications connected to PCOS. Mm-hmm. So one of them is that so this is the advice I often dispense to my patients. So number one is that while you have irregular periods and while actually you do not need to bleed every month, okay, you do need to ensure that you have a bleed at least every 3 to 4 months. Okay. So if we live somewhere where there are four seasons, we call it that every season you have to have a period. So spring, summer, autumn, winter. So every 3 months you have a period. The reason for that is that if the lining is not shed every month, then it is you put yourself at increased risk of having problems with the uterine lining later, and it might even predispose to cancer in later life. Now, very small risk, but it's there. So you should aim to have a bleed every month. And I do say a bleed, not a period, because you can take medications to induce a bleed. Okay, so it's like cleaning up. So the second thing that I tell my women is that, look, you don't ovulate every month. So potentially, if you think about it logically, it might be a chance that you may face problems conceiving, right? Okay. So I would tell them, look, if you have a Mr. Right, not a Mr. Right now, but a Mr. Right, okay, don't wait too long, right? Don't be in like a 10-year relationship, then decide that you want to have a baby at, you know, 40, you know, that you're not doing yourself any favors. So women who have been diagnosed with PCOS, we often tell them, look, try for 6 months. If you are having regular periods, and then if you can't conceive, consider seeing a fertility specialist. Or if you're not having periods at all, then you're not ovulating. So how to try? So there are medications that we can give you to induce ovulation and therefore make your trying time a little bit more meaningful. Okay. The third thing I tell them is that, you know, as you grow older, you would tend to have health problems, especially diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So diabetes is very, very much linked to PCOS, because underneath it all is insulin resistance. So insulin resistance means your body suddenly don't know how to use your own insulin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the sugars stay higher in your blood. And when you can't clear sugar from your body, that's diabetes, right? So you are at increased risk of diabetes if you've been diagnosed with PCOS. So it's important to then start the lifestyle changes to reduce that risk. Okay. And the last and the most important bit of information you need to know is that PCOS is a curse for weight management. Okay. If you and a woman that does not have PCOS were to have the same diet, do the same form of exercise, your friend will maintain her weight or lose 5 kilos, you will put on 5 kilos. Okay, so this is the curse, all right? Mm-hmm. The curse of PCOS. So as you put on weight, your hormonal imbalance will get worse, because in the peripheral fat, there is some conversion, hormonal conversion as well. So your hormonal imbalance will get worse, your PCOS will get worse, and so then it becomes a vicious cycle. Because then your weight will be going up, and then your periods will be getting further apart, and then your diabetes will come. So one of the most important management points for PCOS women is weight management. So you need to maintain your weight in a healthy weight range. And this is the most important lifestyle advice I would give to anyone who has been diagnosed with PCOS. You have to maintain your weight, unfortunately.
It really sounds like a vicious cycle, Dr. Hu, because it's the PCOS itself, and then that leads to your weight issues, and then that could also then further lead to other health issues, or, you know, worsen your diabetes, right, potentially, like you mentioned. Could you elaborate more a bit about that link between PCOS and insulin resistance? Because people might want to think that, hey, you're talking about women's hormones, right? Why is insulin suddenly related to this?
It's not actually really very well known, but there is a link that has been shown. So that's precisely that. So sometimes we do find that there's this diabetes link, and then there's this insulin resistance, and then there's this PCOS link. And so it's a link that has been made. So it's not really fully understood, but it is a health concern to a lot of women. And in fact, there are some studies that have shown that using a form of medication to improve insulin resistance has helped women with PCOS in terms of conception, in terms of pregnancy outcomes. And so the insulin resistance is there, not really understood why. I don't have an answer, I'm sorry.
All right, no worries. Another one of those mysteries that remains to be resolved, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So when patients do end up being diagnosed with PCOS, right? Are they usually seeking that diagnosis, or is it sort of, you know, that you happen to diagnose it because they come in for other health-related issues?
Okay, so if you asked me this question 10 years ago, it would be that, oh, you know, I've got no period, or I can't conceive, or, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, more and more, people are coming in, and some of them are, I mean, they didn't clinch the diagnosis, like they just thought they had it. But a lot more people are coming in to say, hey, I think I have PCOS, right? So I think the knowledge bit is getting out there. But yeah, I would say 50-50 lah, you know. So people are coming in and thinking that they have PCOS, but most of them will come in with things like irregular periods, or their periods haven't come, they've put on weight, and their periods have stopped coming, and things like that.
So then is underdiagnosis still common?
Yes, I would say so. It is common. It's underdiagnosed, but it's not misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that, like, let's say if for example, I have mild PCOS, all right? But I keep my weight. I'm very skinny and you know, I keep my weight well. I'm in a healthy weight range. I may never manifest a lot of the PCOS problems. Okay, so actually the mainstay of management for PCOS is lifestyle change. Okay, so yes and no, I guess, is the answer. Because if you have a healthy lifestyle anyway, you might never get diagnosed with PCOS, even though you have it. But then again, you will not manifest the problems that PCOS can lead to. So if you think about diabetes now, if your diet is super healthy, then you might never have to worry about diabetes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm. So then how common is PCOS? Is there a number, or is that sort of still estimates?
It's an estimate, and it's probably because of underdiagnosis. Mm-hmm. All right. So we estimate about 1 in 3 women will probably have PCOS.
Wow.
It probably is higher in some population than others. We do notice it a little bit higher amongst the Chinese and the sub-Indian continent population. So it depends on which population, but about 1 in 3.
Well, 1 in 3 is quite a significant number. Then, yeah. makes you really think about whatever that you're experiencing. let's talk about the impact of PCOS. Then we've spoken quite a bit about this. You know, Dr. Hu, you've spoken about the impact on fertility, the impact on their weight, their other health complications that might come up. Let's talk a bit about fertility then. Is it still possible for women with PCOS to conceive naturally? Or because, you know, sometimes people think that, if I'm having trouble ovulating, it's automatically things like IVF, right? But is that always the case?
No, definitely not. So like I said, there's mild to bad PCOS, right? Mm-hmm. So if mild PCOS, if let's say you're a wee bit overweight and you've had previously had normal cycles, so like previously that's like, when I was 50 kilos I was okay, now I'm 65 kilos I'm not okay, so weight loss law, okay? But if I'm telling if you are 65 kilos and your doctor is telling you to lose to 50, you will just look at them and say, didn't you just tell me about the vicious cycle, crazy or what? So sometimes just a couple of kilos, you know, we're not talking about 10-20 kilos, we're talking about 2 or 3 kilos. Mm-hmm. That will do the trick. You know, for most of my women, it's less than 10% of their weight. You will start ovulating again. So it's quite forgiving, okay? And I always tell my patients, it's not about diet. Okay, of course, there's a little bit of diet. But you cannot just diet and lose the weight. Mm-hmm. It's better if you exercise and lose the weight. And even if it doesn't show on the scales that actually you've lost weight, you will see the effect in your body through exercise. So exercise is very, very important for women with PCOS. Certainly not IVF, but you know, sometimes it's just a tablet to induce eggs, and you just need to take that tablet for 5 days in the month when you're menstruating, and then we'll go from there to see if the egg develops, right? So if you have time, of course, we would love it that you lose your weight and then you start ovulating naturally, then excellent. Okay, but if you cannot, then yes, there are treatments available for you. There are some women who are very super skinny and mm-hmm. they still have problems. So now those are the more severe PCOS patients. Mm-hmm. And so in those women, I would tell them, it's okay. I think what we will do is when you're ready, then we will cross the road when we come to it and see how we can help you to get pregnant. So certainly it's not all bleak, and women with PCOS can get pregnant quite easily. The only proof of pregnancy, the only proof of fertility is pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell a woman that you're absolutely infertile unless you try. Mm. Or else you might get it on your first go.
What about the psychological or emotional impact of PCOS, right? Because when you talk about symptoms like weight gain or even, you know, having excessive facial hair, I imagine that must be quite difficult for a lot of women to deal with as well.
Yes, it is. And often, you know, because we have such an unrealistic standard for beauty as well. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody needs to be thick, thin, tall, and, you know, no hair anywhere. And so we have these impossible beauty standards that everybody aspires to, right? And I can't tell you the number of women who have just sat in my room and started crying because I told them, look, it's a vicious cycle, you know, and I tell them this story about your friend and you, and they're like, oh my God, you know, this is my life, you know, this is, you know. So when I guess somebody, they finally have someone who understands or affirms what they're going through, and they're so relieved. So that in itself was a big thing. Now, I did have a patient who I diagnosed with PCOS. And for us, because we know that it's not such a bad thing, it can be managed. But why I didn't know that she was really devastated by the diagnosis, because I know her socially as well. And there's actually support groups out there for women with PCOS. So I think these support groups are very important. It is a diagnosis, and well, I'm blessed because I don't have PCOS, and so I can't really empathize with what the diagnosis would mean to a woman like that. But certainly, I would like to emphasize to all women who have PCOS or have been diagnosed with PCOS that it is not a death sentence. It is just a problem, and we can overcome the problem together. So that is, you just have to work extra hard. I'm sorry, but it is doable. It is overcomable.
We've spoken quite a lot about the importance of lifestyle changes, right? And of course, that's something that comes up with a lot of healthcare issues. And unfortunately, it's always something that a lot of people struggle with because it's habits. It's changing your lifestyle habits. I imagine there must be people who ask if PCOS can be treated with medication or something like that.
Well, it depends what your goals are, mm-hmm. right? So if your goal is that I want to have a period every month to make me feel more like a woman, can. But you know what? We can give you that, but it won't treat your PCOS. It will mm-hmm. just make one of the symptoms of your PCOS better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's just artificial. But if it's good for your mental health, great. You know, I think that's something that we can do for you. We'll put you on the pill. You have a period every month. It's not an issue. But you have to be aware that once you get off the pill, it will go back to your normal pattern. So the other thing that often I need to hammer home to women is that not every woman menstruates every month. So mm-hmm. if let's say your cycle is a 44-day cycle, that's 6 weeks. So you only have a period every 1.5 months. Okay, and that's okay. That's okay, right? So sometimes it is about counseling, and it's about reassuring a woman that you don't need to bleed every month to feel like a woman. Now, with excessive facial hair and stuff, unfortunately, once the hair is out there, there's not much that we can do to make it disappear. So you do have to resort to physical means of removing that coarse hair that is there. But there are medications that we can give you to reduce the appearance of new coarse hair, for example, right? So whatever coarse hair you have there, you know, waxing is better than shaving. It's better. And you know, then there's lasers and IPLs that you can go into, but it does have to be a mechanical means to remove the coarse hair, unfortunately. I think more important than all that, because there's no medication for PCOS because you're born with it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no cure.
Mm-hmm. It's about management of the symptoms, it's right? About
management and support. And support. I think once you can accept and move forward, you may need some people to hold your hands. So that might not be your gynecologist, although we sometimes do it. You know, it could be your friends, it could be your family. So I hope that people who listen in will understand that sometimes when a woman packs on the weight, it might not be because she's lazy or she eats too much. It could be her body just betraying her because of the genetic predisposition that she has.
Just need that bit more empathy, right? And not hold people up to unrealistic beauty standards.
Yes, yes.
Now let's talk a bit about menopause as well. That's on the other end of the spectrum, right? How does menopause affect PCOS? Or I guess does PCOS itself affect menopause? You know, do the symptoms go away when you reach that age?
Well, with menopause, there's a cessation of periods.
Mm-hmm.
So you no longer have periods anyway. So it's not an issue. Yeah. Unfortunately, with menopause does come, some women do then develop the facial hair and all that during menopause, right? So because our normal natural estrogen is depleting,
mm-hmm.
so that can happen with aging, with menopause. But I think the most important part of PCOS in menopause would be the insulin resistance and the increased risk of diabetes. So after the age of 40, realistically, it should be checked for diabetes on a yearly basis.
Before we end, Dr. Hu, you know, would you have a message to the women out there listening or even their family members about PCOS and about what living well with PCOS looks like?
I think living well with PCOS, as you rightly pointed out, Sue Ann, is actually what we should do for ourselves anyway. All right. So it means taking care of yourself, exercising, because we are living in a more sedentary lifestyle now. It means eating well, treating yourself well. And, you know, and if you do have someone in your family who or friends who have been diagnosed with PCOS, just bear with them. It is a difficult thing to live with. I mean, imagine, especially in an environment where being slim and skinny and beautiful is and youthful is so desired, it is a little bit difficult. And I also would like people with PCOS to be mindful about, you know, having a period every 3 to 4 months. You have to have one. Complete your family early. Get checks for diabetes regularly. And yeah, stay well and stay safe still.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Hu.
Thank you very much, Suan. You posed some very tough questions.
Well, hopefully to, you know, get all the people's questions answered. I've been speaking to consultant obstetrician and gynecologist as well as fertility specialist, Dr. Hu Mei Lin, and we've been talking about polycystic ovarian syndrome and hopefully, you know, shedding a bit more light on this problem that, you know, it's estimated 1 in 3 women have. So really important for us to always keep an eye on our own bodies and our own health. I'm Lim Suan, and this has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.